business. Our first item of old business is subdivision 2023-06, Twin Masts.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nope.
No, you're good.
So we did have some discussion about some of the conditions for this. I think the one thing that was outstanding was when we would require the berm and vegetation installation. So what's
recall that there was a berm that was was proffered by them along by the applicant along Route 1. If you're going to act favorably upon it, I think the question is, you know, what point do you want that in?
Yes. Yeah. So what number of residential building permits do we want to require that at? I would think at a minimum we would want to aim for, you know, there's 249 lots, maximum 125 reasonable.
That's the halfway point. I could also ask the staff for a recommendation. Staff, Mr. Whitehouse,
recommendations.
Anyone like make want to make a recommendation? No, okay. You know, like we do other amenities, then.
Maybe 2 seconds, Mr. Chairman. I'm just doing some math.
I was texting somebody.
No, no. Just, so the math says 161.
Right.
We rounded up to 162. So he's 65%. So.
162.
Yep. He's okay. Rounded up. So.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
All right, sir.
I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2023-06 for Twin Masts based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. The applicant is seeking approval of a cluster subdivision on land zoned AR1 located within the low density area of the 2019 Comprehensive Plan's future land use map. Number two, the subdivision will have no more than 249 lots on 132.9 acres of land, which is within the maximum density that's permitted in the AR1 zoning district. All lots will be at least 7,500 square feet in size. Number three, there are wetlands and other resources on the site as governed by the zoning code and the recently enacted resource buffer ordinance. This application complies with and in many cases exceeds those requirements. Number four, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has satisfactorily addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Number five, during the hearing, there was extensive testimony about the traffic impact of this development on area roadways, including Round Pole Bridge Road. The commission also heard in-person testimony from two DLDOT representatives about the project and area roadways. There were questions about the TIS for this project and whether it accurately reflected current conditions. DLDOT's representative stated that TIS was a recent study that was approved by DLDOT and reviewed by their consultant engineer in March 2023. The counts used in the TIS are accepted, approved, and verified counts that were used from other studies, and that is typical for DLDOT to use for other approved existing counts. DLDOT also stated that the counts used here are consistent with other studies, therefore there's no need to redo them. Number six, DLDOT also testified about the area roadways and the improvements that will be occurring on them. The DLDOT representatives explained that they reviewed the Twin Masts analysis, which conforms to DLDOT's standards and regulations, and that all of its information is backed by engineering and analysis, not opinions. The DLDOT representatives also explained that, if anything, the development will improve and upgrade Round Pole Bridge Road along its frontage, and that some traffic mitigations will be improved by DLDOT's own CTP projects. For example, DLDOT has grade-separated intersections proposed north and south of the site, proposed improvements going to Hudson Road and Route 1, and a five-leg roundabout proposed on Hudson Road and Cave Neck Road. The representative stated that all of these projects together are going to improve the traffic in the area as well as along Round Pole Bridge Road. Number seven, there was a question about whether DLDOT was requiring an access road roughly parallel with Route 1 that could have had an impact on this subdivision and potentially eliminate lots in that area of the project. In response, the DLDOT representative stated that DLDOT is building a large grade separated intersection to the south, just past the intersection with Hudson Road. If DLDOT was to include some sort of alternative access to the rear of the properties along Route 1 and within this development, it would make the grade separated intersection much more expensive to construct. As a result, DLDOT abandoned that access road as an option. Number eight, the subdivision will be served by central water and sewer. Nine, the subdivision provides for a total environment and design which is superior to that of standard subdivision, and it complies with the design requirements and review procedures for an AR1 cluster subdivision. It is evident from the record that the applicant complied with the design process of section 115-25 of the zoning code as follows. A, the applicant provided a yield plan showing how the property could potentially be developed as a standard subdivision and not a cluster subdivision under the county's codes. The yield plan showed a design that resulted in much less open space with lots, roads, and stormwater management areas covering virtually all of the developable land. The comparison between the two designs is stark, and the proposed cluster design is superior to a standard subdivision. B, homes are generally clustered to the center of the site, which avoids the areas of the site encumbered by the environmental features that are generally located around the perimeter of the site. The site does include several areas that were formerly used as borrow pits. Although abandoned and overgrown, these borrow pit areas are not as environmentally sensitive as the resources that surround the site. They also do not comply with the current safety and design standards for borrow pits or stormwater management ponds. Therefore, they are not natural features or as environmentally sensitive as other natural or other resources on the site. As a result, it is appropriate to remove the trees and other vegetation that has grown in and around these borrow pits and fill them to be built upon. C, the cluster design, further modified by the conditions of this approval, leaves open space within the flight path for Eagle Crest Aerodrome. D, the cluster design includes approximately 52.8% of the site as open space. This significantly exceeds the 30% minimum required by code. Under standard subdivision, the property would be covered with lots, roads, and stormwater management with very little open space. The open space design also includes large tracts of open space that will be beneficial to the residents of the community with fewer fragmented areas of open space. E, there will be a buffer around the perimeter of the site that is at least 30 feet in width. This is larger than the perimeter buffering required for standard subdivisions. F, the design limits the number of back-to-back lots. Instead, most lots will back up to open space. 11, the subdivision meets the purpose of the zoning and subdivision codes and comprehensive plan and that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Number 12, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there will be no more than 249 lots within the subdivision. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of the streets, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, as shown on the preliminary site plan, approximately 52.8% of the site shall remain as open space. D, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county, and the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District. The system shall be maintained and operated using best management practices. E, there shall be a forested and or vegetated buffer strip that is at least 30 feet wide along the perimeter of the subdivision in accordance with sections 99-5 and 115-25 of the subdivision ordinance. This buffer shall utilize existing forests or similar vegetation where it exists. Where trees currently exist in the buffer area, stump removal or construction activities that disturb the existing grade of the area within the buffer shall be prohibited. All silt fencing shall be located at least 10 feet from the interior limit of the buffer area, the edge of the buffer nearest the interior development. And the final site plan shall identify the limit of disturbance to prevent disturbance of the buffer area. Signage identifying the perimeter buffer as a non-disturbance area shall be installed along the buffer at 300-foot intervals. F, there shall be a resource buffer in accordance with 115-93 of the zoning code, as shown on the preliminary site plan. Where not included within the required perimeter buffer, signage identifying this perimeter buffer as a non-disturbance area shall be installed along the buffer at 300-foot intervals. G, with the exception of the areas where existing forest or similar vegetation exists, a dirt berm shall be installed along the perimeter of the site adjacent to Route 1. This berm shall be at least 4 feet in height and shall be planted with additional vegetation to further screen the subdivision from Route 1. The berm and vegetation shall be installed prior to the issuance of the 162nd residential building permit for the project. The details of this berm and vegetation shall be shown on the final site plan. H, the development shall comply with all of DLDOT's entrance, roadway, and intersection improvements requirements. I, street design shall meet or exceed Sussex County standards. J, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Geographical Information Office. K, the subdivision shall be served by central sewer. L, the subdivision shall be served by a publicly regulated central water system providing drinking water and fire protection. M, sidewalks shall be installed on at least one side of all internal streets. N, construction, site work, and delivery shall only occur on the site between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and between 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No Sunday hours are permitted. A 24-inch by 36-inch notice sign confirming hours in English and Spanish shall be prominently displayed at the site entrance during construction. O, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district for school bus stops within the subdivision. The location of any bus stops shall be shown on the final site plan. P, amenities shall include a clubhouse and a pool. These amenities shall be completed and open to use as required by Section 99-21E of the subdivision code. Q, the final site plan shall include a landscape plan depicting all landscaping to be provided and all the forested areas that will be preserved. The landscape plan shall also identify all limits of disturbance within the site. R, the recorded final site plan and recorded declaration shall state that agricultural and hunting activities exist on nearby properties. The agricultural use protection notice and a similar notice about hunting activities shall be included in these recorded documents as well. S, the recorded final site plan and recorded declaration shall acknowledge and affirm the existence of the Eagles Crest Aerodrome and Hudson Fields as recorded in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds at Deed Book 1614, page 194. T, the final site plan shall prohibit any lots or above-ground structures across an area of the site that is approximately 100 feet in width and 2,000 feet in length in the line of the flight path from Eagle Crest Aerodrome. Only below-grade improvements shall be permitted in this area, including utilities and stormwater infrastructure. No amenities, including the pool and pool house, lots or homes may be constructed in this area. Roadways may remain in this area, but they shall be clearly marked as no parking areas. U, the recorded final site plan and recorded declaration shall provide notice to all property owners that one, the subdivision is located in the vicinity of land used as a private airport, and two, there may be flights over the subdivision that may generate noise from the aircraft. V, the final site plan shall include a grading plan for the site. No building permit shall be issued for individual lots until an individual lot grading plan has been supplied to and approved by Sussex County. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued until a grading certificate is submitted to the Building Code Department demonstrating general conformity with the individual site grading plan. W, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, shall be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. And X, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and final approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Could have thought of two more, you'd have had the whole alphabet.
There you go. I'll second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2023-06 Twin Masts for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. Mr. Mears, how do you vote?
I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, Mr. Collins?
I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Mr. Butler?
I vote yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion.
Okay, and Chair votes yes for the reasons and conditions stated in the motion. Motion carries 4-0. Thank you. Our next